Blog Talk Radio.
Failure is not final. Your life is not through. Now with your testimony, God can use you too. If you didn't know the pain of life.
Good evening, and welcome to Atlanta Life Radio Presents, There is Life After Layoff. Join the conversation with our show host, Allie, as Allie shares her journey of self-discovery and empowerment after being laid off. The opinions expressed on this radio program are for discussion or inspirational purposes only. They do not serve as treatment or as a professional diagnosis. All listeners are advised that neither the host or web talk radio agents shall be held liable for the content of programs, including advice given. All listeners are advised to make their own decisions based upon receiving appropriate consultation with a licensed professional and who have been given the opportunity to consider completely each listener's circumstances and not in reliance upon the content of this web talk radio program. Now, as we say each and every week, grab your journal or a piece of paper and pen so you can take notes as you join in tonight's journey. Now, every week I usually ask you to join me in a virtual applause, but tonight I'm going to ask you to join me in a virtual, let's help Allie gain her voice back because she's a little, she's challenged tonight with her voice. So, please join me right now in welcoming Allie, but we're going to limit her remarks because she is a little touched with not having her voice. But please welcome Allie.
Hello, everybody, and I do apologize for not being able to be on air with you tonight, but my five-year-old son decided to share the love with me last week with his cold, so, and here I am. But I'm going to be here listening to the conversation, and I will chime in whenever I can. So thankfully, we have Mel D, who's going to steer this ship tonight, and I'm just going to be riding shotgun. So enjoy.
All right. Well, tonight's show, we're really excited because we have a wonderful show lined up for you. But as Allie shares each and every week, she welcomes you to the show. And she tells you that along with her regular co-host, Minister Dr. Regina Ward Porter, a.k.a. Doc, who is the founder of Elise Psychological Services and who is a licensed professional counselor specializing in anxiety, adjustment, and depressive disorders, it's always, always our pleasure to be your guides as we take this journey of self-discovery and empowerment after being laid off. And as Doc affirms normalcy of feelings while offering her practical solutions. So we want you to continue to please join in our conversation every Tuesday evening from 7 to 8 p.m. through the Atlanta Life Radio website, which is at www.atlantaliferadio.com. You can also follow Allie at her blog, which is at www.thereislifeafterlayoff.com. And you can also find out more about Doc and her services through her website, which is www.elise, spelled E-L-I-S-E, psychologicalservices.com. And if you wish to contact us, you can do so via email at thereislifeafterlayoff@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Twitter. Allie is at Allie Ward 40, sorry, at Allie Ward 45, and you can follow the Atlanta Life Radio at Atlanta Life Radio. And Allie is also on Instagram. She's at #AllieWard45, or I think that's hashtag.
Hey.
On behalf of Doc and Allie and myself, the entire There is Life After Life After Layoff Radio team, we want to thank you for listening and for joining us as we share with you our insights into the experience of being laid off. Now, this segment of the show, usually Allie and I or Doc, we start talking back and forth, and as we shared, Allie is in listening mode tonight. She'll chime in when she can, when she has her voice. But please bear with me as executive producer. I'm not only engineering the show, but I'm trying to keep the show flowing, and I'm going to bring on our guests shortly. Now, I want to take this time, before we get started, to take a moment for some brief announcements, and I also want to remind those listening or who may be calling in that we are using this forum as a way to uplift, empower, and hopefully inspire those of you who have been affected by a layoff. We are not here to complain, ridicule, or point fingers at our former employers or colleagues. We are definitely not here to feel sorry for ourselves. We are here so that Allie, Doc, myself, and our guests can share with you journeys of rediscovery and empowerment. But most of all, when Doc and Allie are on the air, they are here to serve and to give you a voice and the opportunity to share your story. One of the things we enjoy here at Atlanta Life Radio is the fact that this is an open forum. There's no right or wrong. This is the people's station. This is a station where you can tell your story, be inspired by other stories, and know that you are not alone. So now to keep everything moving, and as we always do, if you happen to miss a particular show, you can catch up on what you have missed through the ALR website, which is at, again, www.atlantaliferadio.com. Now, we've made it really easy for you to listen to all of the past recorded shows because we have placed an automatic player box on the programming page. Simply click onto the show you missed, listen to it, and it will start playing automatically. We are also on iTunes, everyone. We're so happy about that. So this way you can catch us on your iPhone or any mobile technology. All you have to do is find us on iTunes by searching Atlanta Life Radio under podcast, and there you will find us. All of our past recorded shows are available, and after tonight's live show, you will be able to upload and listen to the show tonight in about an hour after we close the show at 8 p.m. So again, I want to thank everyone for continuing to tune in. Now, at this point in the show, we want to go ahead and get started with tonight's topic. And Allie had planned to do something very special, so I'm going to go ahead and do it in her place. She wanted to take a minute to say thank you. All of you know that yesterday was Veterans Day. And I think I learned from Allie that our guest is also a veteran. So we want to take a very, very special moment to say thank you to all of our veterans and to all of our veteran families who make sacrifices for each and every one of us every day.
Absolutely.
Okay. Yes, Allie, you chimed in there.
Yes.
You know, we can't thank them enough. Exactly, we can, and we can't take them for granted either. And, you know, truth be told, I don't know of any American family that hasn't been touched by a veteran, whether it's a parent, a son, a daughter, a brother,
a cousin,
a friend. And so at the top of the show, before we introduce our special guest, Nicole Guyton, we want to thank her for her service.
Absolutely.
So at this time, we're going to welcome, and we're real excited to have our guest this evening, Miss Nicole Guyton. Nicole, are you with us? Nicole? Okay, we'll keep speaking until Nicole joins us on air. Just to share with our listening audience, we are planning Atlanta Life Radio, along with There's Life After Layoff, the team, with Doc and Allie, and also with another team member, Miss Jennifer Giles. We are planning a symposium, and the symposium is going to be titled Aspiring to Be Whole. And in the next few weeks, we're going to be speaking more specifically to that topic area. We want to thank all of you who have been listening to the show, talking with Allie and Doc on air. And we know if you have been blessed that you want to share your blessings with us. So we're always going to provide you with a platform and an opportunity to join our conversation and to join the show. Now, just as a reminder, if you'd like to call in and join the conversation this evening, you can call in at 347-324-5246. And at this time, I'm going to ask if our guest is on air. Ms. Guyton?
She must have gotten disconnected.
Yeah. Well, she's showing she's on air. So we'll wait until she calls back in.
The connection
she's having
must be
some
bad.
Light technical difficulties this evening.
But
Ali, I know your voice is very hard for you to talk, but is there anything you want to share with our audience?
I think tonight's show is so important. And we are talking about giving back, especially now more than ever around the holidays, but even far reaching beyond the holidays. We have to really, really understand and know that a lot of people have been affected throughout this past year and beyond, myself included, with being laid off. People have lost a lot of jobs. And so there, you know, this time of year is when depression sinks in, and we'll be talking about that on a future program. So we really, really have to join together and take care of our brothers and sisters who are hurting. And even sometimes there are those people who are so proud that they don't want to reach out to ask for help. So we kind of have to pay attention to what's going on around us. And it's funny, excuse me,
yeah,
that my daughter brought home a paper from her school, and I'm so happy about this because their social studies department is actually doing a community outreach project.
Wow.
And so her teacher, Mr. Mestacerio, is, I hope I said his name right. he is engaging the children to make bags for homeless people. They're going to be called blessing bags. So they're asking parents and children to, you know, to send in dollar items, trial size items, so that they can make these bags, and then the teachers are going to go deliver them over the holidays. And I think that's great because we need to teach our children how to give back. So I sent him an email to let him know that I was so happy that he was going to be doing it, and to let him know that we were going to actually be talking about giving back tonight, and that I told him, I said I was going to mention it because, you know, it's very important that our youth get involved in these kind of programs and these projects so that they know that, you know, there are people who are going without.
Right.
And, you know,
right.
don't take what you have for granted, because it can be
right
there, but for the grace of God go I.
That's,
you know,
right. That's
so
right.
I just kind of wanted to add that tonight, because we have to get involved throughout the year. We have to get our youth involved and, you know, take care of each other.
That's right. That's very important. And I see Ms. Guyton is trying to call back in. I think we need to text her and tell her to hit one so I can bring her on air. Her phone keeps dropping. So to our audience, please just bear with us. Okay, she's back. Ms. Guyton, please hit one and I can bring you on air.
Okay.
I was hoping she can hear me.
She needs
to hit one. Yeah. Ms. Guyton, are you with us? No, she needs to hit one. Okay. Well, as Ali shared, our theme tonight is giving back, and, you know, the holiday season is coming upon us, and it's a time for all of us to kind of pause a minute and reflect and be thankful for all of the blessings bestowed upon us. And, you know, during the holiday season, it's also a wonderful time to get with our family members, people that we may or may not live near or see throughout the year. So it's a time where we just, like I said, pause, call friends, call family, or go by and visit, break bread together, and most importantly, network and just enjoy one another's company. So I know for the holiday season, I will be heading to New York to be with my family, and I know Allie will be joining her family. And as we get closer to the holiday, we're going to talk more about and reminisce with you all more about our families. And, okay, I'm sorry. We are just having technical difficulties this evening. For some reason, our guest is not able to get through. What we will do, Allie, she says she's hitting one. Allie?
Yes. She says she didn't know why we couldn't hear her before.
Yeah, I can't. Yeah, she's on. I have her live, but I cannot hear her. Miss Nicole? Okay.
I wonder if she has it on mute by accident.
Yeah, she might. Okay, well, we're going to keep talking for another couple of minutes. And tonight's show, we apologize for the technical difficulties. It does happen from time to time. Allie, unfortunately, it's a challenge with her voice tonight, so we may just have a short show this evening. But as always, you know, if anyone wants to share a layoff story, please call in. We'd love to hear from you. Call us by calling 347-324-5246. And hit number one when you are told to do so that I can bring you on air. Okay, here's Ms. Guyton again trying to come on. Ms. Guyton? Okay.
Something is wrong with the phone tonight.
Yeah, unfortunately, there's something wrong this evening. Our guest is not on air with us. So what I'm going to do right now, we're going to take a short break. I'm going to bring our theme song on for a minute and so that everybody can enjoy that for a minute. And if you just bear with us, we'll be right back with you. You are listening to Atlanta Life Radio Presents There Is Life After Layoff. We're taking a short break and we will be right back.
Failure is not final. Your life is not through. Now with your testimony, God can use you too. If you didn't know the pain of life, wouldn't know the joy of life and how God always brings you complaining. Just look at this, it's just training to be ready. What God has for you, tell yourself,
I'm not giving up.
No,
if you are just joining us, you are listening to Atlanta Life Radio Presents There Is Life After Layoff. Join us each and every week as our show host Allie and her co-host Doc discuss and share Allie's journey of self-discovery and empowerment after being laid off. We apologize for tonight's technical difficulties, and as a result, we're going to end our show early this evening, and we will reschedule Ms. Nicole Guyton. Tonight's theme was giving back, but we will reschedule. And again, we apologize for the technical difficulties, and Allie, our show host, is challenged with her voice. Okay, here we go. I think we have Ms. Guyton. Let's hold on. Is this Ms. Guyton?
Yes, hello? Can you hear me?
Okay,
hello.
Yeah, Yes. There's a little, hold on, let me turn the music off. Okay, can you hear us?
I can. I'm not sure what was going on. I'm
Okay, the volume is really low on your phone. I apologize for all of this technical difficulties. I don't know if on your end. Can you just say your name, Ms. Guyton?
Nicole Guyton.
Okay. All right. Well, Nicole, we'll go with it. If you would, I'm sorry, I apologize for the technical difficulties, but can you just share with our listeners a little bit about your background, who you are, and in terms of your company and what you do? Can you just go ahead and just speak to our listeners?
Sure. I basically, I guess I could start with, I started off in social services. Right now my company is NNK Consulting, LLC. And what we do is mainly consult. We develop a lot of programs in the community, and we provide management and operations for mental health and social services programs.
Okay. Now, when you talk about community outreach, what type of outreach does your company provide?
Well, what we try to do is we try to empower the community. And what we mean by empowerment, we started a program last year. Well, actually, it's been 2 years now, called the Reconciliation Movement. And it's really an outreach-type ministry, but what we try to hit certain areas in life. Number one is family, education, economics, and then civil duty. And the whole concept of that is to empower the community to learn how to be self-sufficient. And we called it a movement instead of a ministry because we wanted to kind of pick up from the civil rights era and learning how to go back to the roots of the family and the church and how to build and strengthen communities.
That's awesome. And, you know, we had the pleasure of interviewing civil rights leader Dr. C.T. Vivian, and when you talk about replicating what was done in the movement, it was sort of a groundswell growth of community connections. And so I applaud you for utilizing that model. Has it been successful so far?
Well, I'm going to tell you, it's funny how it even came about. It was one of those things where just through a lot of prayer, I got tired of kind of the same old thing when it comes to outreach. You know, when you're just constantly giving handouts or, you know, it's only for the holidays. And I think, you know, that's one of the things you guys wanted to talk about. And I realized that we're doing all, you know, a lot of churches and people, we're doing all of this outreach, but the communities are still suffering. They're not getting any better.
Right.
And one day I kind of realized, I said, you know, we got to go back to the basics. And that started reminding me about how the church originated and how when people used to come together in the church, they brought everything they had and they made sure it was equal throughout the community. And from there, I started being reminded about other things. And so, you know, I told my team, I said, come on, we're going to start taking care of the community that our office is in because we were doing services throughout, like, Metro Atlanta. I said, but we got to take care of home. I'm right in College Park on Godby Road and a lot of different things going on over there off of Old National Highway.
Right.
And we decided to start an apartment complex that was next to us. And we got in there, and, boy, I don't know if we were ready for it because it was a lot, you know. it was a lot. But I think the biggest thing was getting the people to trust us.
Yeah.
It's taken the last 2 years to get to a point to where now you know, they're coming to the office, they want to know how to do things, or they have a problem, they're not really sure what to do. And what we found is that in that, in finding the strong people within the community and helping to uplift them to become leaders within their, you know, community, now they're teaching people, you know, oh, you know, go over here, you know, this is how you, you know, say, for instance, if something, your power goes out and you know you paid your bill, like people wouldn't know what to do in certain
right.
communities. And so these are things that could stop a lot of other, you know, issues from arising by just sitting down and talking and listening and teaching people different things. And to me, that's, you know, that's real outreach to me, because you're helping
right.
people grow, you know.
Well, that's a good point. You brought up a good point about finding trust within the community you're trying to serve. How did you build that trust? I know I heard you say you identified sort of like a community leader or a spokesperson, but how did you, what are some of the techniques you use to build trust?
It started off, what we do originally is we take a few weekends and we go out and we just survey. We knock on doors.
Mm-hmm.
You introduce yourself, what your purpose is. And you say, you know, we're not trying to really do, you know, give you much, or we're not trying to get anything from you. We just want to know, how do you feel about your community? What are the things that you see, you know, that need to be done here? Do you get involved in the community? How do you deal with stress? Now, you know, being a counselor, I want to know those types of things.
Right.
We start taking up a lot of data. We do that for about 3 months. October, November, and December. And in the midst of that, we do try to do a little bit of giving for Thanksgiving and for Christmas. And so wherever we can partner with the other people in the city or other organization, they'll help us with coats or food and things like that. So like
okay.
Thanksgiving and Christmas, we'll do something for them. But in the meantime, we're just talking to them. We're getting to know them, you know. And what happens is, when you finish the survey, you ask specific questions so that you can start certain conversations. I mean, it takes time, because you
right.
have to get to know the community that you're trying to help.
Right. And how do you target your communities in terms of which community is considered impoverished, or, you know, how do you select the communities that you serve?
You build a relationship with your local law enforcement so they know just about everything that's going on. A few years ago, my first organization that I did in Jonesboro, in building that relationship with the sheriff's office and asking them, you know, what areas are you having a lot of problems in, and what are the problems that you're having? And one of the things that we try to target is family. You know, when they say, well, we got a lot of kids that we pick up violating curfew, or they're breaking into houses, you know, all these different things. And to me, that's important. So any outreach to do is to talk to your law enforcement and find out what's going on, what to look out for, because you got to be safe too.
That's true. Very true. Very true. And on the same vein, what are some of the misconceptions about these communities that you've uncovered?
Probably one of the most common ones is, you know, oh, they want to be poor, or, you know, they choose to live like this. I think that's one of the biggest ones that
mm-hmm.
you hear all the time. You know, we had a conversation with someone at one of the churches out here, and they said, well, you know, everybody gets afforded the same opportunities, and that's just not true.
No, it's not true.
You know, yeah, when you have families coming from different cultures, and there's so many generational things that gets passed
right.
down. And as an example, excuse me, just like when I worked for Department of Family and Children's Services, I did child protection services for 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would do investigations. And you go into someone's home, let's just say a nasty house, or what we would call, some people would call nasty, and you find out that no one ever taught them how to clean.
Mm.
You know, this is just the way they live. And, you know, I literally had to sometimes on weekends will go in and have to teach them you can't put chemicals with your food in the kitchen.
Wow.
I mean, people really don't know these things, and you just be surprised. Probably some of the other things on the worst side, when you talk about sexual molestation and how some of these things are just passed down in families, and they don't see anything wrong with it because it's been going on in their family for 40, 50 years.
Wow.
And, you know, some things that we take for that we say, oh, that's just not right, or, you know, you can't make assumptions about people because of how they live or what they're going through or how they're going through it.
Exactly.
And that's why it's important, you know, to get in and talk to them. Listen, they'll tell you. You know,
So do you host group meetings or do you counsel people individually or a combination of both?
Well, to be honest with you, because at the current time I'm in the process of opening a center, I have staff, and so I don't really right now have the time to see people one-on-one. I do like to do a lot of I got a couple left. I do premarital and marital counseling. But what we try to do after the outreach, as far as the outreach, is after October, November, December, when we do our outreach and our surveys, we kind of sit down and we do planning, and we find out, you know, how many people hadn't finished high school, how many people having problems with their kids, what are the ages of the kids. And from there, we have several types of groups and workshops that we schedule, and we bring either sometimes like the apartment community that we're doing now, they have a community room, so they allow us to do it on site, which is really cool because it's easier for people to come down. Right. With the Turnberry, the first apartment complex, because we're right next door, they just walked over our community room, and we had workshops that way. And that's how, you know, they'll start wanting to talk to you offline, and you find other resources. I started utilizing a lot of interns and teaching them about social services, and they would do a lot of the research and finding the resources, you know, around the city.
Right. So in terms of resources and connecting these communities and these families to resources, are the resources mainly government programs, private programs, or a combination of both?
They're a combination of both. You'd be surprised. It's amazing to me that there are a lot of people out there doing good things, but you just you don't know about it because maybe they can't afford to advertise. And, you know, we do a lot of stuff by word of mouth. And then, you know, your government programs, the things that are just kind of known, maybe your vocational rehab. We utilize Department of Family and Children's Services a lot. United Way or Good Partners, people like that.
Wonderful, wonderful. And, you know, as you know, our main theme is there is life after layoff. But for those that have been laid off, do you work with the one-stop employment centers? Do you refer people there or any outreach work with people who have been laid off to social services? Are you seeing a groundswell of that?
Well, you know, I want to say for the last 5 years, that has been a very, you see a high number of people being laid off. Like the last 5 or 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just not enough resources. The one-stop place, the Goodwill, the workforce development, a lot of those programs, they started, you know, getting flooded to where there was no room for people anymore. And unfortunately, those resources are very bare. And what we try to do is sit down with people and try to find out, you know, where their passion lies.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like people get laid off or, you know, you lose jobs for a reason. you know, to kind of push you to where you're supposed to be.
Right.
That's just one of my huge beliefs because, you know, I think we're in a season that God is preparing his people. And a lot of us are being pushed into very uncomfortable situations to get to that point. It's just a matter of sitting down and saying, my, you know, I just had an aunt who's been recruiting for truck drivers for a particular company for a long time. Mm-hmm. She's been with them. And they got a new director over her who came in and said, you know, we're paying you too much. And they just laid her off.
Wow.
But for, like, the last 3, maybe 4 years, you know, her son, a few of us have been saying, you know, you could actually do this for yourself.
Right.
And she's like, yeah, I know. She has all the contacts, everything. So now she's being forced to kind of do it. Right, but it's uncomfortable.
Right.
You know, a lot of us weren't taught how to be entrepreneurs or how to go after things that, you know, we really truly love as far as who we are. And I think that's what it stops people. You know, people think you have to have finances, but believe me, when God gives you a vision,
that's right.
You don't have to have a dime.
That's right.
That's exactly what this is all about right here.
That's right.
Yeah.
Do you do any work with the faith community? In terms of your outreach?
Oh, yes, all the time.
Oh.
We do.
Okay.
And we work with, you know, I work with a lot of different denominations. I work with Muslims. We work with quite a few people. It just all depends. You know, we started doing a lot of different things in understanding your character and seeing and how those things kind of work together.
Right.
Your personalities and why people do the things they do. And I found it's about the 7 deadly sins. And so when we started doing that particular workshop, we started kind of attracting a lot of different faith organizations.
Okay.
It's been interesting.
Yes. And, you know, Atlanta, since the Olympics, it has become a very diverse city. So how do you address diversity? I mean, are you working with the Hispanic or Latino community as well as African-American? Or what type of communities are you working with predominantly?
Predominantly, I would say African-American. We do work with, I'm trying to think of the school now. I think it's not Banneker. Tri-City High School, there's a Hispanic liaison there where we work. And then I have 2 translators where we do some work in Clayton County as well for the Spanish population.
Okay. Yes. And I know we hadn't talked about this prior, but I'm just curious. Are you working with communities as it relates to the health insurance marketplace? Are you being able to provide referral information or doing any promotional work for that, for those that are uninsured?
Actually, it's funny you bring that up. We had a meeting last week, and I went to a couple of the seminars, and we actually had one of our interns go through the training. And so one of the resources we have is with St. Joseph Mercy Care Services, and they have a lot of free clinics. They have one downtown. I think it's 424 Decatur Street. They have another one, I believe, on Buford Highway, and there's one on Joseph E. Boone. And so with them, they actually have a lot of certified people who will go around and do the applications. And I'm setting up a workshop within the next couple of weeks to kind of help us so we can get some people signed up.
Oh, excellent, because I know – I would suspect that many of the people in the communities that you served are uninsured. Would that be a correct statement?
That's very correct.
Okay.
What's interesting is that you come across a lot of kids that are not insured, and that's not supposed to be. And so
no.
you end up having to help them. Well, you know, you realize what it is a literacy issue.
Okay. Okay.
You asked me earlier about what we ran into when we first started the reconciliation. You run into a lot of literacy issues and a lot of developmental issues, and you find out that people just really don't understand stuff. So if you're mailing them something, I mean, we had conversations with people there and left to find out that they didn't understand anything we were talking about. So we
wow.
had to go back and kind of figure it out. That was another thing, trying to talk to them in groups, that doesn't work because everybody's
okay.
on different levels. So we had to figure out, you know, who was at what level, how to talk to them, how to get them to understand, or how to get them to learn things. And it's time consuming, and you
okay.
have to be strategic and extremely prayed up to do this type of outreach. I think,
definitely.
You know, if we had more involvement of people, educators, people who didn't mind just giving an hour a week or something just to give back, to get people to understand just how to survive. Because a lot of this stuff is just survival.
Wow. And, you know, the saying, we are our brother's keeper. So in the spirit of giving back, and, you know, we want to utilize this platform as a call for action, you know, what volunteers do you need? How can people become involved in your organization and give back?
Well, you know, there's a screening process, of course, as far as background checks and things like that. But anybody
mm-hmm.
really who's interested in working with families or that has a passion for education, has a passion for economics and understanding job growth or teaching job skills, people who are interested even in civil duty. You know,
mm-hmm.
we talk about civil duty, and we just had elections here on the 5th, and getting people involved in that, getting people involved in what's going on within the city. You know, those are the type of volunteers. There's four types of volunteers we need. Oh, I'm sorry, there's actually a fifth one, which is people who want to work with the elderly population.
Yes.
I had a lady
mm-hmm.
a few months ago. No. Actually, I'm sorry, a couple of years ago, who died in her apartment because of diabetes.
Mm.
And apparently she had no family or anything, but my thing is that could have been, you know, taken care of if somebody could have checked in on her or, like, you know, we need to get you to the doctor. You know, simple stuff like that. And it doesn't take a whole lot.
No, it doesn't. You know, I'll share, you know, my former life. I was the director for the Office of Aging for Fulton County. And the area
okay.
that you're talking about, yeah, there are a network of senior centers that seniors should be connected to, because for those home and shut-in seniors, there are programs where they can
right.
have visitors to come and, you know, visit with them if they need meals and other needs. So are you finding that a lot of seniors in your service area are sort of isolated or living alone?
They are, and they're very
okay.
disconnected. They do not know about these types of services. And so those are things that just getting out, finding out what's going on, and pointing them, because it doesn't take really money. It takes time.
Right. That's it. You said something there. It doesn't take money. It takes time. And, you know, we're, you know, as an economy, we're so busy now with things and not people. You know, with all the technology, we love it, but it's sort of impersonal. And people are no longer visiting like they used to, or taking a minute to talk to their neighbors. And I just commend you and your organization and your leadership for doing that type of outreach, because basically you're talking about door-to-door outreach, correct? Going door-to-door.
Yes.
That's what we do.
Wow. And we usually a group of us, probably about, we try to go out with no less than seven.
Mm-hmm.
And it, like I said, it's very strategic. You have to really get to know your law enforcement so that they can tell you what's going on, where not to go, those types of things.
Right.
But we deal with a lot of prostitution in our area.
Isn't it interesting? Wow. Okay. Mm-hmm. Wow. I know there were big issues on child prostitution. So are you finding that a lot of the prostitution are for minors, or are they all ages?
It's a combination. You'll find, because you'll see some young girls out there, and most of the time they get picked up. Sometimes they don't. I'm one of those bold people, so a lot of times if the spirit leads me to do it, I'll stop and talk to them, try to figure out, you know, what they're doing, how old they are. And for most of the time, I can get them to open up to me. And you'll find just some of the stories, because their own families pimp them out. They're out there trying to pay the rent for their mothers. And, I mean, it's so many different stories, and they're horrible.
All you can say is wow. You know, we hear it on the news, but to actually hear, you know, you're dealing with it up close and personal, it's really, really reminding us of how serious these issues are. And
if I might interject, Mel D.
Go ahead, Allie.
it sounds to me like Nicole is really, really the epitome of what that word, those two words mean, community outreach. And it's so key, because it sounds to me like what her organization is trying to do and is doing is meeting the people where their true needs are, and not just parading the people to meet the need of the organization, if that makes sense. Because a lot of these larger organizations are have this tunnel vision about, and I'm not, you know, ragging on any of these organizations, because they do help people and they do meet a need, but they're so dead set on just doing one thing at one time of the year, and then, you know, what is it that that family really needs? Like Nicole said about these, you know, generational things that have been passed down, and these people don't even understand what, you know, is going on or what resources are available, or how to even connect to those resources. So really, are you helping them by just giving them a handout one time a year or two times a year? No, you're not, to me. And, you know, that's my opinion. But so, like she said, there's so many smaller grassroots organizations that are doing great things, and that's what we are trying to do here at There's Life After Layoff, connect to those grassroots people to let folks know there are people out here trying to take care of you.
That's,
you know,
true.
We got to help each other, like you said, and that's my two cents.
Right. No, you make a good point.
You know what, picked up on something. About the organizations, people want to push their organizations instead of the people.
Right.
And I think that's really key, because, you know, we just lost it somewhere. And, you know, I always talk about the civil rights movement, because I feel like we lost a lot after that.
Yeah.
But there's, you know, you hear, there's an old thing where they talk about the Black Wall Street. Are you familiar with that?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
After the Oklahoma City riots and all of that. Now, we were able to come together as a people, build a church, build cities. We were very prominent people.
Yep.
Dressed good. We talked well. You know, after all the riots, and what people don't talk about is after the riots and they killed a lot of people off, they were able to get scraps and build that city back up again.
Yes, they
and
did.
And what was crazy about that is when they built it back up, that's when desegregation hit. Now, I'm not saying desegregation, but don't get me wrong. But when it hit, that's when a lot of all these government subsidies and all this stuff started coming about. The thing is that, you know, for a long time I worked with youth. And when I started working with adults, that was like on Social Security, because I was working with Medicaid and all these different things, you find out that they were placed to to me, they're facing God with a system, a government system.
Wow.
What's happening now is that this government system is crashing because they forget about God. They forgot who really gave us everything. And so now it's like people are all over the place. You know, we were talking about it today because the food stamp program changed and people don't have, I think maybe $30 was taken off of their food stamps. Well, you get $900 a month. And now you complain about 870. Like, are you serious? You know, we just got to look at just this big picture of how all this stuff is. So now what we're challenged, you know, as evangelists and ministers and pastors, our challenge is that we're going against a whole lot of different systems that have programmed and have have programmed and I believe intentionally put people into a type of slavery. And now they don't want to pay for it no more, throwing people out on the street.
Yeah,
now we
got
to deal with this.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. We said
so
that's
the thing
good.
Is,
that
we
is
said
good.
It. I know Doc has said it before, modern day slavery, that's what it is.
Exactly.
How do we get back to a point where we're empowered? How do
right.
we get back to a point to where, you know, I'm not depending on anyone to do anything for me, but I know that I can get out here and I can work and do it myself.
Right.
And to me, that's what the reconciliation is about. It's about reconciling with God, reconciling with yourself, and reconciling with knowledge.
Wow.
And it's scripture.
That's good.
There's a scripture, I want to say it's in Genesis, and don't quote me, but it's about the Tower of Babel.
Mm-hmm.
And in there, God talks about how when the people came together as one, and they went after the same thing, they were unstoppable. It said that, and I don't know the scripture offhand. I'm bad at that. I'm sorry. But if you look it up about the Tower of Babel, God looked and he said, wow, these people came together. They became one, and they had a purpose together, and they went after it. But it specifically says that, and I wish I could find it. Just give me a minute. It specifically says that with this, they're unstoppable.
Right.
They're unstoppable. And I feel like that's what the people did with the Black Wall Street. That's what they did in the Civil Rights Movement.
Right.
And that's what we can do today if we can get our heads out of stuff like Atlanta Housewives and all the other stuff that's distracting us.
Nicole, you are talking, you are speaking to, and you are raising the awareness to what the real issues are. And, you know, we try, you know, using this platform to at least have people have an aha moment and think about things. And, you know, like Allie shared with Doc when she talks about modern-day slavery, you know, you really have to think about it. You know, I need to feel empowered so that I can control and have the life that I desire. And
exactly.
It is possible. It is possible. So I commend you and your organization and your movement so that you can inform, educate, and empower the communities in the Atlanta area. And I did have one last question. And we talked about your challenges, but what are some of the opportunities that you see on the horizon?
Well, right now, God has given me a platform, Testament House, and we're located in Jonesboro. It's a 118-bed facility for males ages 16 to 24. And the whole idea of it is, you know, I developed the program for the corrections reform because, you know, the governor signed the corrections reform legislation that starts in January to kind of help young people so that we're not just, you know, incarcerating them, but helping to actually rehabilitate them. Mm-hmm. So the program has all the different services under one roof. We have a literacy, a three-part literacy program, which is basic, intermediate, and then GED preparation. And the key to everything, to me, that brings everything together is the vocational training program. So we're in the process of partnering with a lot of different companies that would give them intern, you know, opportunities in order to employ them. And to me, this is the biggest thing. It's a big vision, and I'm really happy about it. I know I've been prepared to do this, and it's definitely a blessing.
Wow. Wonderful. Awesome. Well, congratulations. And how can people make contact with you? Do you have a website, or how can people make contact with you?
I'm going to tell you, the best way is to go ahead and you can call the office. Our number is 404-472-7318. And my website is www.nnkconsultingllc.homestead.com.
Okay. Well, we got off to a rough start, but you know what? The information was just profound, and we want to take a minute. I want to thank you on behalf of Atlanta Life Radio and There's Life After Layoff. We want to take this time to thank you again, Ms. Guyton, for joining us and for inspiring us all to a higher calling of community service. And thank you again for joining us tonight, giving up your time, and whatever we can do to support you, we're here for you. Just keep in touch with us, and we'd like to have you come back in the new year and talk to us about some new opportunities. Okay?
Okay. Thank you for having me. I enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Okay, at this time we want to remind all of our listeners that if you like what you see, please friend us on Facebook. You can go to Facebook, Atlanta Life Radio, and this way you can continue to follow us. You can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram. And remember to mark your calendars to tune in for the next Men series, Uncovering the Mission of the Missing Man, with our own Pastor Dwayne Johnson, Sr., and that is scheduled to air next Tuesday, which is November 19th. So you do want to mark your calendar and tune in. Now, until next week, on behalf of Allie, Doc, and myself, we want to thank you for joining us. And for those of you who bared with us through the technical difficulties, a special thank you because you got to hear the blessing tonight with our special guests. And we want to continue to encourage. And yes, although it may be hard to walk away from something, especially when you don't know what you are walking towards, just know that when God is in it, all things are possible and new. Continue to join us on this journey and take a leap of faith past the fear in your life. Know that the bigger the obstacle, the bigger the blessing. But most of all, remember, there is life
after layoff.
After layoff. Good night and thank you.
Failure is not final. Your life is not through. Now with your testimony, God can use you too. If you didn't know the pain of life, wouldn't know the joy of life and how God always brings you through. For complaining, just look at this, it's just training to be ready, what God has for you. Tell yourself,
I'm not giving up.
No,
I'm not giving
in you, Lord, I have my faith in. Even when it seems, that's when you look, that's when you're through will begin.
Failure is not final.
Your life
is not new.
Oh,
with your test.
day, on any given Sunday, there's always someone who's worse off than you. Now, there's no need for what is bringing you through. Failure is not a final.
Your life is not new.
Now with your testimony. Freedom I have ever known has come from you alone.